All right, we lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. A little Duck football chat. He's the fine beat writer for the Register Guard. See what he's up to? Well, on the cover of today's sports section online, registerguard.com. Follow along on Twitter. The handle at RGDuckFootball. Ryan Thorburn joins us. Ryan, always appreciate the time. How are things?
Things are going well. How are you doing, Steve?
Very well. No complaints. So you've been pumping out this spring rewind, fall look ahead pieces as we speak. But I want to do a I need a Thorburn timeline. You arrived here for the 2013 football season from Colorado?
That is correct. It was in Mark Helfrich's contract that I had to come out here from Boulder with him and cover him.
You know, I'd like to actually get a copy of that, just to have, in case it surfaces. And I know you've written three books about Wyoming sports, basketball, baseball, football. And I checked your site, I think a few weeks back. You have a new project in the works. So what's that all about?
Oh, so you're the guy that's reading that website.
My click, baby!
I was trying to find that person. That's great. Yeah, actually, I am working on a project with a guy I went to school with. We're kind of doing a book on the Border War series between Wyoming and Colorado State, which is of great interest out on the Front Range, not so much here. But, yeah, it's kind of interesting. They've played 50 times for their trophy that they started during the Vietnam era, and Wyoming leads 26-24, so it's been a good series between those two.
Now, you know, sometimes we hear about Paul Bunyan's axe or some of the great prizes. What do they have anything kind of funky that is at stake when they play?
Yeah, the bronze boot, which is a
it's
a bronze Army-issued military boot that a Colorado State student wore during the war. And they bronzed it in 68, and they've been playing for that every year since then. So that's 50 and counting now.
That's cool. Today you wrote about the quarterbacks, and certainly with Justin Herbert at the head of the class, when he's been in there, he's looked like a guy with NFL capability. But, you know, he played just half a season as a freshman, hurt last year, missed five games, didn't have really a poor game until the first half against Boise State. How confident are all that, if healthy, he could live up to what are really, really high expectations as an elite Pac-12 quarterback?
Well, I think he's right there. I think the interesting thing about Justin, as you mentioned, is, you know, he hasn't really played a full season yet. Kind of got thrown in, you know, four or five games into his freshman year, and then obviously missed those five starts with the injury last year. So I just want to see the guy play, you know, 12 regular season games, and if he does that, I think his numbers are going to be right up there with anyone. And, you know, he may or may not have a decision to make after this year, but right now, all they're worried about is keeping him healthy, and I think he can take them pretty far.
Yeah, I think if he has a lights-out year, the decision may actually end up being easy. But we continue with Ryan Thorburn of the Register Guard. So since the second half of the 2015 Alamo Bowl, we've learned, well, the starter's great. The backup, from what you've seen and heard from the coaches, let's focus on Braxton Burmeister. What are they talking about as far as improvement from last year? Because, yeah, he was shaky, but he also got tossed in there before anybody would have wanted.
Yeah, I think it's just impressive that, you know, he stuck with it. I mean, he didn't transfer, he didn't quit. I mean, he took a beating last year, you know, in the games and, you know, kind of was the poster boy for what went wrong with the team. You know, in the losses he took as the starter, they were only averaging about 8.5 points per game. They did beat Utah with him, had a good game that game. But I just think the fact that what didn't kill him has made him stronger. And you know, that's really some amazing experience getting thrown in there against Washington and these kind of really good Pac-12 teams. That's something even Justin Herbert struggled with for a while there, his freshman year. So just the fact that he's stuck with it, you know, he burned his red shirt, but now with this new rule, maybe you could see him play in some of these early games when they have big leads in the second half and still red shirt. And it's all about development with him, and he's going to get, you know, a lot of looks before he has to really be the man once Herbert is done here.
Let's talk running back. I know Oregon has often had, you know, great supplements to their primary guy, be it Barner behind LaMichael James, LeGarrette Blount shared time. You know, obviously last 4 years with Freeman, we've seen Tyner, Griffin, Brooks James. How do you see the, I guess, current depth chart? And any reason to be a little concerned that maybe they lack the more size-oriented back?
They do lack that Royce Freeman type, and they don't, you know, grow Royce Freeman on trees. But I think what Mario Cristobal likes is that a lot of these guys are what he calls home run hitters. They can, you know, go for an 80-yard touchdown, starting with Tony Brooks James. So I don't know that you'll see one guy carrying it 30 times like Royce did at times, but maybe a committee where, you know, a group of two or three of these guys wears down a defense and hits those long runs late in game.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a really interesting aspect to see how it plays out. The offensive line, we know obviously it's near and dear to the head coach who was on that great Miami line who won a share of the title, 28 years ago. And we know Ty Crosby's gone and a rotation guy, Evan Voller. So, new faces. Where does the Alabama transfer Dallas Warmack fit into any plans? And you know, if things worked out, where would he be?
Yeah, I mean, assuming he gets into Oregon, you know, you never know until they actually arrive, which should be shortly here. But you know, I think this is the strength of the team, the offensive line. When you talk about all these redshirt juniors who are now in their third year as starters, I think obviously right guard is an area where the Alabama transfer or maybe one of their touted freshmen has a shot to sneak in there at right guard. I think that's the area where, you know, Jacob Capra was kind of with the first team a lot during the spring, but that's an area where the position can be won. You assume Throckmorton would go back to one of the tackle spots when Jake Hansen is healthy, but, you know, he's a versatile guy, could play a lot of different places. I think Lemieux's pretty much a road grader at left guard that they're going to keep there. And then, you know, you have George Moore and Brady Aiello at the tackle spots too. So there's a lot to work with and more very big dudes arriving soon.
Yeah, what is the status of Hansen? And would I be accurate in assuming center left, it's going to be he, Lemieux, and Aiello taking a Crosby spot?
Yeah, that's kind of my prediction. I think the interesting thing is, you know, at right tackle, do you put Throckmorton and then rotate in George Moore, or does George Moore really have a shot to maybe push for the starting spot at left tackle with Aiello? Or if Throckmorton's your best lineman, do you put him at left tackle? There's a lot of things you can do there, but I think they have, you know, three or four really good tackles that they believe in, and that's what you want. Like Cristobal said, that's what we want at every position sometime is, you know, really good starters who are being pushed by the guys behind them.
Yeah, final thought. Let's get to defense. Seems like, well, especially since you've been here, the secondary's always had a guy who's thrown to the wolves early. You know, Chris Cisse, 2014, then Amadi, then Brendan Schooler, Thomas Graham last year. Though the pass defense was better last year than the year before, well, that really wasn't saying much, but mixed in with the front seven, as you wrote, what do you like about the secondary, the back end of this defense heading into camp?
Well, I know the coaches really like Ugo at safety. You know, as I mentioned, he took his lumps at cornerback as a young guy. Now he's really mature. He's really evolved into a really good leader on the defense. And they love their young guys. I mean, Thomas Graham's only going to be a sophomore. He's definitely one of their starting cornerbacks. Diamador Lenoir, a sophomore who played a little bit last year, is probably going to lock down one of those cornerback spots. And then they have some freshmen who enrolled early, Steve Stevens, Veron McKinley, who are in the mix at safety as well. So I think they really like the potential of the secondary, and the best part is they're really excited about their front seven, which will really help out the secondary by really should be able to get a lot of pressure on quarterbacks with Jalen Jelks and Jordan Scott and Lamar Winston and all these guys that have developed.
No, I think I am incredibly intrigued by A, the improvement, and if they make a market improvement again, they actually turn into a good defense. Novel concept there, Ryan. You can catch up with Ryan, the beat writer for the Register Guard, by picking up a copy of the paper online at registerguard.com. On Twitter, the handle is at RGDuckFootball. Ryan, appreciate you finding some time for us and sharing your insights as always. Thanks a million, and we look forward to talking soon.
All right, I appreciate it, Steve. Stay on that website.
All right.
Keep you updated.
Click, click, click. Have a good one, Ryan.
All right, thanks, man.
Take it easy.